Hey everybody, I'm Dr. Deb, and welcome to another episode of PTSD and Beyond. Stories. Storytelling. Throughout the ages of time, stories have captured our attention. We have found ourselves and find ourselves listening, relating, and connecting to the story as well as to the person of the story. Having thoughts of, I'm not alone. You are not alone. We are in this thing called life together. Hey everybody, this is Dr. Deb Lind and welcome to the PTSD and Beyond podcast. Every week we bring amazing guests, whether they're subject matter experts, inspiring souls, forward thinkers, or perhaps even wounded healers. In June is PTSD Awareness Month. And here at PTSD and Beyond, we've been working on something pretty special for you. Something that you can listen to each and every day. Each day in the month of June, we'll be sharing the unique story of someone with lived experience with trauma and PTSD. We'll learn a little bit about their journey, how they're progressing through a healing journey, as well as hear their post-traumatic growth and how they've found meaning, purpose, and a superpower in the process of healing. We got to let you guys know that we are extremely grateful for all the folks that have shown tremendous courage to come on the podcast and share their stories and inspire everyone to listen to this podcast around the globe. We've had folks from England, Canada, New Zealand, India, Malaysia, Australia, the United States, and beyond. We felt that there was no better way to honor PTSD Awareness Month and to share the stories of our brothers and sisters from around the world and acknowledging their trauma, their challenges with PTSD, but also to teach us and to inspire us, allowing us a glimpse of their healing journey. We here at PTSD and Beyond hope that these stories will touch your heart and touch your soul and offer you inspiration and compassion for others suffering from PTSD, from folks that are affected by PTSD, as well as yourself. These are the powerful lived experience stories of real people. They are the champions who keep striving, who keep healing, who keep growing, and who keep living. We hope that you enjoy the PTSD and Beyond 30 Stories in 30 Days, honoring PTSD Awareness Month. Remember to please share these episodes with folks that you feel and you know will benefit. Remember to subscribe, like, and share. So let's give a listen to today's guests. 30 Stories in 30 Days starts now. Hey everybody, it's Dr. Deb here with PTSD and Beyond, and we've got another Share My Story segment. This person is one of our neighbors from the north. She comes from Canada, and let's give Randy Lee a heartfelt PTSD and Beyond welcome. Welcome to the show, Randy Lee.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks for coming on and, you know, being open and willing to share your story. I'm sure that you know that there's a power of sharing stories. And as a published author to a book, it's called Embracing Me. It's a nonfiction book about your story. And we're going to have a hyperlink on the summary bio to your Amazon page so folks can go ahead and purchase your book. And while you're here today, why don't you share with our listeners a little bit about your story?
All right. Well, my story is long, but I'll keep it short for you. I'm going to say that it really started when I was a teenager. My mom, she ended up marrying somebody who turned out to be an alcoholic. And throughout my teenage years, it was really difficult to know when I walked in the door after school or after being out with my friends, who I was going to run into. Was I going to run into the nice guy that my mom married originally, or was I going to run into the person who had been drinking all night long? More often than not, it was the person who was drinking all night long. So a lot of times I would go home and he would be already off on whatever kind of tangent he was on. And my mom would usher me up the stairs, go to bed, go to your room to get me out of there. But it didn't stop me from hearing all the yelling, and it didn't stop me from worrying about what was happening, worrying about my mom to know if she was being hurt. And I would just be up in my room with my cats and just crying because I didn't know what to do. So that's really where I say the trauma started. And then throughout high school, my brother got out of jail and moved in with us. That was a whole other change in the household and just ended up in more fighting. Eventually, I moved out at 17. I moved in with a friend. However, that didn't really help the situation because I still wasn't a part of their home either. It was still being on the outskirts. And being on the outskirts is really hard. I mean, as a teenager in general, you're going through all of these hormonal changes and trying to figure out who the heck you are as a person. And then you don't fit anywhere. And I didn't have a mom to talk to because she was so busy dealing with my stepfather and my brother. And I got really depressed in those years. That's actually where writing came from, right? Writing was my main coping mechanism. And I turned that into my first book, which was Thoughts of a Wanderer. It's all the poetry that I used to write. And it was some pretty dark stuff. So if you don't want to read anything too dark, don't read that one. But if you're okay with reading some dark stuff, then it's a very dark based book because it got me through the hardest times of my life. Fast forward, I graduated. I didn't get the best marks in high school, but I still managed to graduate. I moved out onto my own. I had a couple of roommates, but I moved out on my own. I ended up getting pregnant, had a baby. And then when my baby was about 6 months old, I met my now husband. So we've been together like 14 years, which is fantastic.
Congratulations.
And thanks. But through that, when my baby was eight years old, we found out that he has autism. And leading up to that was a lot of meltdowns. And for him, meltdowns were very violent. When he was younger, it wasn't as bad because you could just restrain him. And actually, I took community and justice services at school. So I actually learned how to do restraints in school, not knowing that I'd be using them almost on a daily basis. But that was good that I knew. But the older he got, the harder it got. So I've had to deal with a lot of, like I said, violent meltdowns and a lot of times having to call the police to come and help because he was just too big and I couldn't help him, and going in and out of the hospital with him. And he's tried to hurt himself as well at times. So that's, as a mom, that's very traumatic as well. I didn't know what I was going to do, how I was going to help him. I was lost. Then as he's going through all of that, I also ended up having cancer. Had to have two surgeries to get rid of that. But we're good. It's almost been 3 years this year.
Oh, so good.
And thanks. So that was in and of itself traumatic because you're looking at yourself going, oh my goodness, am I going to die? Mm. And so, yeah, that's a lot of various, that's my really short version for you.
Well, listening to your story, a few things come to mind. First of all, thank you for sharing all of your, you know, this moment with us right now about all of your stories. And there's multiple layers, everything from, you know, childhood to, you know, having a child that special needs, mm-hmm. and being a mom. I'm a mom with a child with special mm-hmm. needs, and I can understand and relate. And there's somebody out there that can also, as well as being a cancer survivor mm-hmm. and being cancer free for 3 years. That's just something that most people probably can't even just grasp and have an understanding and an awareness about what would life like that be like. So thank you so much for
for being with us today and sharing your story with us.
Of course.
From that too, I heard many different types of challenges and trauma and layers of trauma brings challenges, and it affects our lives in so many different ways. Yeah. What are some ways that trauma has affected your life?
Yeah, well, starting with as a teenager, I mean, the effects were that I turned really inward. I didn't want other people at my school or my friends to know what was going on. So I would hide a lot of it. So I learned, and then even as an adult, so it took me a long time to embrace the fact, which is where the name of my book came from, to embrace the fact that I have depression, but depression doesn't have me. But as a teenager, you know, you learn to hide that stuff because you don't want to be the kid that, oh, you have an alcoholic stepfather. Mm-hmm. Kids are mean. Teenagers are mean. So you hide the truth from people. So I learned how to do that. I learned how to mask what I was feeling. And all that does is make it harder to live every single day when you're trying to push it down so that other people don't get upset. And then when I had my son, it was a little bit better because I had moved out of the situation. And eventually I had moved out onto my own. And so that was really nice because I was finally in charge of myself. I was in charge of what happened in my home, and I was not allowing alcohol really in the home. So it's not to say I don't drink. I mean, I had one drink this weekend, but the time before that was about 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. So it's a rare occasion because I know what it's like to have somebody who drinks a lot, and I'm not having that in my life. And when I moved out on my own and had my own apartment, it was nice because I didn't have to have those people in my home. Mm-hmm. It was my choice. So that was really empowering. I still had a long way to go because especially with yelling was a really big trigger for me because I would always equate that to my stepfather. And so as I got older and people would yell, I started going, I'm not talking to you if you're yelling. And I would just walk away. Mm-hmm. Because I couldn't handle it. I felt like that little girl again, hiding in her bedroom, not knowing what to do. So throughout college wasn't too bad. I really enjoyed college. But then my child started having issues as it got older. Like I said, I was 8 when he finally got diagnosed with autism, and all of the things that come with that, all of the trips to hospitals and things like that. That was just really hard. And I was just in survival mode mm-hmm. for a lot of years. I wasn't living. I wasn't really thinking about myself. I was just surviving day to day, trying to make sure that my kid survived the next day as well. So that was a lot of years, and that takes a really big toll on a person to the point that I had some thoughts that maybe aren't such good thoughts. but then I learned that it's okay to ask for help. And I went to therapy, and that was really helpful. I'm on antidepressants, which is really helpful. And I've just learned that it doesn't matter what other people think. And I'm not going to hide that anymore, mm-hmm. which is why I do these shows. I have my own show, right? I want to talk about it because the more that you hide it, the harder it is to live with it.
That is an excellent self quote. The more you hide it, the more it's difficult to live with it. And there are some other amazing quotes here. One is that, you know, I was in survival mode for many years. And that's how trauma affects our lives, is that, and we've heard that from other guests too. So thank you for sharing how it's affected your life, that, you know, the survival mode of taking one day at a time. And survival mode is completely different than taking one moment at a time, one day at a time, from say like a mindfulness, you know, practice or an awareness-based practice, right? They're completely different. One is on autopilot to make sure, like, hey, you know what, everybody's doing okay. And maybe mom puts her oxygen mask on. Maybe. The other one is, okay, I need this. This person needs this. The other person needs this. And how are we all coming together? And when things can't all be done, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. The survival mode is something, again, where people will say, I don't want this anymore. And that mm-hmm. awareness of that, taking that stance, we, from the effects, make changes.
Yeah.
And from the changes, we grow, right?
Yes.
So how have you grown? And I people can't see you right now, but I can tell you right now, just from your energy and the way that you're saying everything, there's a lot of growth here. So yeah. Share with us, Randy Lee, ways that you've grown.
So I'm going to say the biggest way that I've grown is I'm okay with getting something wrong. So for the longest time, I had a perfectionist problem. And some people go, oh, perfectionism, that's not a problem. But it is when it rules your life to the point of not trying something or not doing something, because for fear if I do it wrong, mm-hmm. I'm going to be looked at as an awful person. So I've learned now that it's okay if I mess up, which that's probably been the biggest relief off my shoulders, is knowing that I don't need to be perfect all the time. In fact, I'm definitely not perfect. But there was this big perception for the longest time in my life that I needed to be. And now that I know that I don't need to be, it's like the world is my oyster. I can do anything now, because if I try and it doesn't work out, I'll just try again. It's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say that's probably the biggest change, as well as being open about the struggles. So remember, I had said that I always tried to hide it. I wouldn't let friends come over to my house. I'd always say, oh, let's go to your house, or let's meet at the mall. And I would just try to hide what was going on in my family, hide what was going on in my life, not tell anybody the thoughts I was having. Now I'm telling everybody. I'm writing books about it. I'm talking on podcasts about it. It's something that we need to be open about. We need to be honest with not just ourselves, but with the world in general, so that other people who maybe don't have to deal with those issues can mm-hmm. have an understanding of them. Because it makes total sense if somebody doesn't understand you because they haven't went through it. So I'm not going to be mad at them, because it's my job now to teach them.
I love that. It's my job now to teach them. And it's so true with growth. You know, what I'm hearing here is that, you know, the world is my oyster. There's no more hiding. There's no more putting that face on. So the illusion is removed. And what's there is truth and reality, as well as kindness and compassion for yourself, as well as to extend it to other people. Because, you know, there are people that listen to this podcast who have said, oh my gosh, you know what? This one made sense. Or people are there are therapists that listen to these podcasts with their clients. And we've had people actually say, I took this podcast episode to my therapy session because this says what I'm trying to say. So with growth, then we never stop growing, right? So we've got growth awareness. We continue to grow and our energy gets higher. We're more confident with who we are. Yeah. And again, it's continuous growth, and that continuous growth turns into a superpower. So what's your superpower?
I'm going to say that would be talking. So when I was little, and I was like, you know, 10 and under, before all of my depressed states and all the trauma started happening, I was going to be a world famous actor.
Wow, cool.
I loved being the center of attention for making up stories and plays and that kind of thing. I always got my cousins involved to do plays and little puppet characters or whatever. And I lost that part of me for a really long time because of the trauma. It was like I was a different person. And having now grown and learned things, I'm going to say that I've gotten back to that and I've enhanced it. I've enhanced it because I've embraced myself and everything that's happened, and I'm moving forward. So my superpower is definitely just talking about it.
That's beautiful. I love that. And again, everybody who's listening right now, we're going to have, you know, Randy Lee's direct link to her published work, all her books and everything. So if you want to connect with her, you can go ahead and do so. Everything's going to be in the summary bio. You know, every episode we do this, I share our story episodes. What we find is that there's always a person who's like, you know what? The way that she says it, I really do think that I'm right here with you. I mean, you are talking directly to a person. You're touching their heart. You're speaking their language. And to that person, what is something that you would say to them? What's what you want to share with that person right now who's just listening to you and is like, yep, she gets me?
I'm going to say, stop worrying about everybody else and start worrying about yourself. Now, not in like a conceited way by any means, but in a way that you're not hiding your true self so that somebody else doesn't feel good, right? So a lot of times I would hide it because, oh, hey, how are you? Is always the response when you run into somebody. Oh, I'm fine, because I don't want to bring them down. Mm-hmm. But if they're going to ask the question, I'm going to tell them the answer. So be honest if somebody's going to ask you. And so what I started doing, I actually started going, do you want to know the answer? Because I wanted to give them the chance to be like, okay, I was just being pleasant. I don't actually have the time to listen right now in this moment. But don't try to mask what you're going through, because what you're going through doesn't define who you are. What you're going through is just what you're going through. It does not mean that you are a bad person, but it just means that you're going through a certain time in your life and you're going to come out the other end stronger.
I love that. Don't mask what you're going through. What you're going through is what you're going through, and you're going to come out stronger. It's beautiful. Thank you, Randy Lee, so much for being on our podcast today and sharing your story, sharing your wisdom, your nuggets, your energy. And again, everybody, her information is going to be put on the bio summary. Go check out her book and make sure that you comment about this episode. But thank you again for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Guys, this is Dr. Deb with PTSD and Beyond. Remember to subscribe, because when you do subscribe and a new episode drops, you're going to get an automatic notification that, hey, guess what? It's there. And you get it a day before it goes live to the public. So make sure you do that. If you liked this episode and you loved Randy Lee's story, please give us a favorable review, because you want to know what? We might be in over 50 countries, but there's a lot more people that we need to touch. So please go ahead and leave that review, and we'll see each other again next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's guest and their story on 30 Stories in 30 Days on the PTSD and Beyond podcast. Remember to hit that subscribe button, as well as to like and share and comment. And make a note, because guys, tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, we've got another story on 30 Stories in 30 Days at PTSD and Beyond.